This is Coffee with Timmy.
Hello, how are you? How have you been? When love is not enough, when is love not enough? At what point do you decide that enough is enough? I'm not doing this anymore. I'm finding more and more these days that the tolerance level of couples is getting thinner. The things that you allow or that you feel that you can no longer take is getting thinner. And I wonder why. When you add your vows and you said, for better, for worse, what exactly was supposed to be the worst thing that you will take? Was it, we don't have food in the fridge, I'm gone. There's no money for petrol. I don't know. But you must have something in mind that this I will not accept. For me, and disclaimer, yes, I'm not married. But for me, I will not accept any kind of abuse. Emotional abuse, physical abuse, I just would not take that. Psychological abuse, I will not accept it. And where is my line? The first time will be the last time if a man hit me. It will be like, you know, literally that's it. I won't do it again. But they will do it again until it gets to, it's because you made me do it. And I won't go there. The same thing with emotional abuse, that there's just a line that you have to know. You know, just like when you go into a relationship, you say, if this comes up, you know, you go on a date and you say, if this comes up, am I going to let him kiss me? Am I going to let him touch me? Am I going to sleep with him? You know, whatever it is that you say, you already make up, you know that before it happens, you've made up your mind. And when you say you're going to marry someone and you're going to marry them for life, you say there's a person I want to spend my life with. What do you think that life entails? Most of the time when people get married, it's they're not, but in another things, all things being equal, when people get married, they grow together. And at what point do things become irreconcilable differences? And I just can't be with this person anymore. What has happened? I'm finding, like I said, that the tolerance level of couples have just become thinner. And I don't know why. Yes, the rate of divorce is very high, especially here in South Africa. And when I look sometimes, I think, and this is me when I think, you know, women should be treated better than this and all of that. But I think our grandparents had it right. Yes, not some of the things that they did when not things that we would accept today, because, you know, we're independent, we're working, we're earning our own pay and all of that. But they also were able to overlook certain things, not because it was good or convenient for them, but they looked at the whole picture of the marriage. I'm not one to say stay in your marriage because of your children, especially if the husband is a drunk, if he abuses you, if he's a chronic womanizer. But you have to understand that there can be things on the flip side as well. Maybe the woman is not such a good wife or a good mother, because for some women, for some men, they are the ones who want out of the marriage. But I'm looking and I'm seeing the things that I think it can be covered. You know, I assume, so maybe I'm being naive, but I assume that when you're married, you want to cover your husband, you want to cover your wife. And I'm not talking about physically, but, you know, there are certain things that happen that I don't need to know about. Nobody else but the two of you need to about it. And maybe you want to say that is exactly why there are things you don't know about that just the two of us know. But if you sit down and think about it, really, is it enough for you to leave your wife? I went to a celebration of life this past weekend, and it brought my mind again what happened. It's been on my mind for some weeks now. And this couple, they've gone through a really traumatic time. They started almost this year with this accident happening, and things have changed. Physically, things have changed in their lives. Like, they would never, never have thought about when they were dating or when they had their children that this was going to happen somewhere along the line. Never. It's not the kind of thing that you think might happen, much more, what will I do if it happens? Because you just don't think that will happen to you. And I saw how the wife, she was just so grateful that her husband was alive, was there, was here, and I am too as well. And this is a young couple. To me, they're a young couple. This is a young couple. And it just reminded me again that I'm not seeing more of this. She didn't care how her husband looked. She had her husband. And she said, she kept saying that, no, I'm not ready to lose him. I'm not ready for him to go. She just wasn't ready. She just wanted a man back. You know, when we start dating, or when you're really interested in someone and you maybe start going out with them, or maybe before it gets to that stage where you say, we're going to get married, before you even say, I love you, things build up. You know, there's that fire. Ooh, you know, in my language, we say, korikosun. I can't sleep if I don't see you. You got to say good morning. You've got to phone each other good night. Yeah, you know, and all of those little things. You get butterflies in your tummy. And it's both ways. Men get butterflies, so no matter how they try to hide it. And it's both ways. But then you get to settle down. You're going to settle down at one point, because it's just so, the fire, so it's too much to maintain at that intensity. But the settling down doesn't mean that the love has gone cold. It's just a settling. I'm home. This is where I want to be. This is where I feel, you know, this is just home for me now. And it's not like ashes, you know, the fire is all burnt out. No, I think it's more like a glow, you know. Like to me it's just like a glow, like the coals, you know, are just always warm glow. You know how you feel in a cold night and the fire is the fireplace, and you just feel comforted, you feel safe, you just feel loved, and you feel protected and everything. And I think that should go into every area of marriage as well. If something is happening that wasn't like before, shouldn't you cover your wife? Shouldn't you be that person that doesn't let anybody else know what is going on? Shouldn't you be the one who will stand against the in-laws? And I know for men, this is so difficult to stand up to your family to say, no, this is my wife. This is how I draw the line. She is now mine. This is our family. It's not so easy for some men to do. But I think on the flip side, it has to be the same as well. You also should cover your husband. Unless, again, if it's any of those things that I mentioned. I will not take physical abuse. I will not take emotional abuse. And I will not let anyone abuse my children. I don't care who you are. I will not let anyone abuse my child. So shouldn't you just do the same thing? Because the reason for which, unless, I really don't know what it means when you say irreconcilable differences. How did it get to that point where now you just cannot reconcile? This is not somebody you just picked up on the road and you became friends. You know, there's been a lot of stuff where when the intimacy started, when you started becoming distant, why didn't you do something about it? Or have you by then said, you know what, I'm done? There was a lady once that I listened to on the radio. She said, her husband lost his job, and she used to go, I think it was a Thursday girls night and stuff like that. And then when that happened, she was the only one that was working, so they had to, you know, cut expenses and budgets and all of that. And she said something that stayed, well, I did kind of know it, but anyway. So she said, she started making excuses why she couldn't go for the Thursday night, and it wasn't really anything, it was just girls night, and they'll have drinks and they'll go back home. And she said, not one, till the time she was talking, not one of these girlfriends called her to say, what's up? Why are you not coming again? What's going on with you? Not one. And that's when she realized that her priorities had been wrong, you know, or maybe she just didn't have good friends, you know. I don't have this kind of friends. People I call friends are friends, okay? And she realized that she needed to be there for her husband, for her children, for her marriage, if she wanted it to work. And she was willing to do it. And she was glad. She was almost glad that the guy lost his job, because then she found what was important to her. And this, I'm not seeing this. I'm not seeing this. This couple I'm talking about at the weekend, they're a young couple. And I was just blessed to be there. Normally, I don't even like to go for events, but this one, I was blessed to be there. I said I wasn't going to stay for more than an hour. I was there for hours, and I'm glad I did, because I heard testimonies, I heard people talking, and I could just thank God, not just for what he has done, but for what was being learned. In fact, I remember somebody saying that they looked at the wife and the way she behaved towards her husband, who was on a hospital bed, made them see or made them realize, oh, I have to change in the way that I relate with my husband. And that's something. You know, she was willing to fight tooth and nail and whatever it will take for her husband. I'm not saying that. I remember when my father's age group, my father is dead now, but his age group went through this thing where they will go abroad to a Western country to study with their wives, their young wives. There was a young couple, and the wives will work, have babies, and send the husband to school, basically pay for his studies. And then some of them will come back. Not all of them, so I have to be fair. Some of them will come back, and they will be like, oh, now I've graduated past this woman. This woman was not as educated as I am, so they change wives. And most of those who did that in their old age, when they're old and, you know, they're weak and maybe they're sick, they want the old wife back. That is the wife who was there before the money or whatever came. And it's too late. It's too late. The wife is gone. They didn't appreciate the wife of their youth at that time. And I'm finding that quite a number of ladies are doing the same thing. You know, before it used to be a male thing. And that's kind of funny because I live in South Africa where divorce is very high. And I have met girls that have been married 2 years and they're divorced. And because of the job that I do as well, there are so many homes that are not together, you know, in 2, 3, 4, 5 years. And I'm like, what could have happened? You must have dated, gone out for a while before you married. Was married the catalyst to, you know, you guys not being together again? And I just don't know. I am so burdened by it that I don't know what to do. If I knew what to do, okay, so I pray. But how do I help a couple? How do I say, sweetie, bros, you know, we do that. How do I say, bros, what are you doing? If the shoe is on the other foot, if this is flipped over, is this what you want her to do to you? Would you want her to do this to you? And we forget sometimes that the things, you know, material things are so, there's like vapor. The Bible says money is, you know, like vapor. And these things can go anytime. People lost money during stock exchange, you know, when stock exchange fails. People have lost, you know, the Great Depression in America. People, dot-com. Ooh, dot-com was good when it was good. And then when it was bad, it was bad. And people have lost money. People have even lost lives. I even know of someone that I studied with. I just asked about her the other day. And the person said, oh, didn't you hear? Her husband committed suicide. And I was like, what? Again, a young couple. Okay, maybe not. But they were a young couple when they married. And it was like, oh, my husband is the best. And I don't even know what to say to her when I see her now. Because I don't know, where do I start from? I don't know what caused it. So anything can happen. Anything can happen to any one of us. We do not know tomorrow. We can sleep and not wake up. Heaven forbid, until we are old and gray. We may sleep and not wake up. You know, this family, this couple I'm talking about, he didn't intend, when he was telling the story, he didn't intend to go and, you know, and have an accident. He didn't intend for whatever happened to him to have happened. No. He felt it was working. 1 minute it was working, the next minute this is what has happened. 1 minute the wife was sleeping, the next thing she hears house was as an accident. So we have no idea what can happen. We don't know tomorrow. And the things that we've been given by God, we need to hold them as precious. And I think family is precious. I think family is precious. Okay, I don't want to repeat myself because you understand what it is I'm talking about now. So if you're there now, you're thinking, this guy is just there is no hope or whatever. Maybe you're the one that needs to lift him up. Maybe you're the one that needs to lift your wife up. Maybe you need to help her look for another job. Maybe you need to help her change careers. Maybe you need to help her study. Something. There must have been something that brought you together. And I don't want to think you married out of some evil intent. So whatever brought you together can't be me. It couldn't have gone by now. Please take, put a pause button on it and check yourself and check what's going on around you. I don't know what else to say. So I'm just going to say bye.